Vet bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep, up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by The CW. Watch new episodes of Katie Keene on Thursdays at 8, 7 Central or stream free the next day on The CW app.
I feel like we've been through so much with Lucy Hale.
You mean Katie Keene?
No, I mean Lucy Hale.
She's practically canon.
You will drain it. Yeah, 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 they wanna know. Hey.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, yeah, come on. Hey. I want to be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
I feel disgusting. I woke up and my first thought when I woke up was too much dessert.
I know. I ate so much sugar last night in Oscar's anxiety.
I ate way too much sugar and then I couldn't get to sleep. And no, my stomach was like,
you couldn't get to sleep because you were giggling at the Milano's campaign, which worked on you like a dream.
So someone, whoever is in charge in the Milano cookie social media empire,
can go to hell.
I'm not sure. They really should go straight to hell or go to the basement in Parasite. They decided that they were going to, in real time, get a cookie decorator or someone. I'm assuming, they were good. Like they weren't meant to, but they didn't make any sense.
They weren't meant for this world. Like they were good in a technical sense, but I didn't enjoy looking at them.
What they did, they said, okay, follow us. They were like, follow us on Twitter. And as we watch the Oscars, we will put the most iconic outfits onto Milano cookies. If you're asking why, there is no answer.
And if you're
and
asking,
the hashtag was best dress cookies.
Does it look good when you draw a dress on a Milano cookie? The answer is no. It always looks bad. There's not one thing that looks good about that.
And if you're also asking, wait, I didn't think you were supposed to ice Milano cookies. Are you supposed to ice Milano cookies? The answer is no. No one's ever done this before.
They're not suggesting you ice Milano cookies, nor should they be iced.
And the thing about Milano cookies, which I feel like you'll agree with, is like the Milano cookie is so beloved and perfect because it's like the perfect amount of frosting, you know?
Dippable. Yeah.
It's mostly the shortbread.
It's not wearing an ugly Oscars dress.
Like, I don't want all that fondant on my thing.
I don't want, like, Billy Porter's Oscars outfit on my Milano cookie.
It said, on February 9th, we're getting our cookies red carpet ready. Make sure yours are, too. Decorate your Milano cookies and post them with hashtag best dress cookies. They look good. They did the Natalie Portman thing. They did Billy Porter. They did everyone who, like, wore anything notable.
It looked crazy. There weren't really that many notable looks. Or there were notable looks, but not, like, really, really far outside the box to no Swan, no Bjork Swan, no stuff like that. But everybody looked good for the most part.
No one else did this. I am scrolling through the hashtag and
no one actually decorated their Milano.
No one without a financial stake in the Milano Empire or Pepperidge Farm did this. No one did this.
There's going to be
one person said, my cookies are always best dressed, always red carpet ready. And someone just, it's like they dipped their Milanos in chocolate and sprinkled them with crushed peppermint.
Well, that sounds delicious.
They also dipped Oreos in chocolate and crushed peppermint.
Okay, can we move on from the advertising?
That wasn't the biggest story of the night?
So what was
Pepperidge
the biggest
Milano
story?
Cookies?
They stole the conversation. Okay,
Bong Joon-ho won 4 Oscars.
Yeah, Parasite
them.
Basically swept. So if you haven't seen it, it's
Oscars
time.
Were good. Yeah, it's time to see it.
You know, I don't know if the Oscars were good, but it ended on a good note, so it felt like a good night.
Right. It ended so there were they it Parasite won, and every time it won again, it was like, it won again, yay, this is gonna be its last one. Oh, it won again, yay, it's gonna be this is gonna be its last one. And then it won the big one, and then we were all happy, and then we all forgot that it was ever awkward, because it was very awkward. Janelle Monáe's opening was ridiculous.
I mean, ridiculous. Just not even her best ability, I think. Like, just very silly. And I also think that the days of the musical montage, the montage where you refer to people there and stuff in the show, that's a tough thing to pull off. I mean, just because Billy Crystal can do it, I don't know if anyone else can do it.
And could do it is like, it exists better in our memory than it does in real life. I don't know if you read Richard's recap of the 2000 Oscars on Vanity Fair. Richard Lawson's recap. It's like, yikes. Why did we ever laugh at those things? But the thing is, like, Janelle Monáe is a funny person. She is one of entertainment's truest multi-hyphenates. She is great at all of those things.
But I'm even thinking of, like, Alicia Keys at the Grammys did the same shit, and it was weird. It was weird. The, like, singing about the people and looking at them, referring to the movies and looking at them. It also really bugged me, and I think it bugged other people who like movies, that the people on the stage who were dancing behind Janelle Monáe were dressed up in things from movies that weren't even nominated. So, like, sorry you can't show, like, a Jojo Rabbit costume or a 1917 costume up there for reasons that I'll let you figure out. But to have, like, Meet Somar and, like, Queen and Slim, like, movies that were actually kind of robbed, like, up there, kind of rude.
Yeah. Silly. And it's like, and bad. We didn't nominate any Black people in acting awards, but let's put Janelle Monáe and Billy Porter up here to sing a little bit at the beginning.
Right. Like, and then introduce Steve Martin and Chris Rock, who did the typical Oscars opening, which is just, like, kind of a little roast.
It would have been fine with just that. Although, but again, it's like, can't really complain too much about these Oscars. Because of Parasite. Parasite blinds you to everything else. And also, they didn't run super long. They ran long.
They didn't. And there's always, like, because there's a producer who's producing it as a show that he wants to, like, win an Emmy, essentially, they have to add in those flourishes that I think we always say take up too much time. Like, the Eminem, the surprise Eminem performance, was insane. But it needs to have flourish so that it's a show. It's a show, a variety show, not just people giving out awards, you know, because the songs aren't enough.
I think the tone of Janelle's thing was very strange. Like, it was, like, almost too earnest. I thought she was about to do a parody thing when she walked on and did her Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. But it was like
the movies, cinema.
Yeah. And the Oscars does that a lot, which is fine. Like, I love the, like, montages. I love that shit. I eat it up. But I also think that, like, the parodies can be fun if they're done well. I don't really know if they've ever been done super well before. And if anyone could do them well, maybe Janelle Monáe could. But instead they were like, no, do this really earnest Oscar song.
Well, do you think it was like they pair the earnest Oscar song with, like, very kind of dark jokes about how bad the Oscars are historically as an institution? So, like, oh, well, we'll even out this, so we'll have a little of both for all audiences, which, okay, you can't argue against that. That makes total sense. But it's also hard to watch all the way through because you're just like, what tone are we in?
It's good that Janelle Monáe's was first because I honestly forgot about it until we were complaining about it just now.
I know. It melted.
It melted away. Fine. Also, she was best dressed. So
the other thing the Oscars did that are relevant to us. Well, I was talking to Bobby about this before and I said, did any Who's win any of the major categories? And I don't mean all, like, the categories that were non. I mean just actor and best supporting actor, because those are the ones where the Who's can kind of break through and, like, be like, me, you know, like a Rami Malek or like a Brie Larson, like, me.
Everyone who won a technical award is a Who. So, like, let's not even open up that can of worms.
Not even. But I meant, did any Who's win acting awards? And the answer is no. It was a really A-list list of winners. You know, you had Joaquin, Laura Dern, who else?
Joaquin's speech was a Who.
Renee Zellweger's
insane. Speech was a Who.
And who was the fourth? Who am I think?
Owen. It was Joaquin, Renee, Brad Pitt, and Laura Dern. But let's talk about the most important thing to us, which was that the Oscars introduced a new way of introducing people, which was to get Hollywood's biggest who's introducing Hollywood's biggest thems, and it resulted in the strangest couplets of introduction couplets.
Welcome back to the Oscars. I'm Beanie Feldstein.
Right, but once you got used to it, didn't you think it was kind of nice? It's a good way to shove more people into the show.
Passing a baton.
Because there aren't that many awards they present on TV, so you're like, let's double it up in a way that is a little bit more creative than just shoving five people on stage, you know, to do a bit with five people.
It felt a little weird, but I guess it makes sense, because I bet people are like, who is this woman? It's Beanie Feldstein.
Well,
like,
you also
who is this
had...
man? It's George McKay.
We're back at the Oscars. I'm Kelly Marie Tran, and with me is Questlove.
You had Beanie Feldstein introducing Mindy Kaling, so there is like a connection there, a little bit of a contextual connection. You had Anthony Ramos from Hamilton introducing Lin-Manuel Miranda, so like a connection, his friend.
Hello, everyone. I'm Anthony Ramos, and thanks. Wow, thanks. And this is my first time at the Oscars. Yeah, so that's pretty dope.
You had George McKay introducing his fellow Brit, Olivia Colman, right?
Yeah.
Welcome back. I'm George McKay, and I'm hanging up here in the balcony. Is everyone having a good time? Well, we're coming to the final three awards of the evening, and time is of the essence, which is why I'm here to introduce myself before introducing someone else, who will in turn introduce someone else. So please welcome acting royalty, the truly brilliant and wonderful Academy Award winner, Olivia Colman.
So, so they tried to do kind of this, my mentor or my inspiration, my predecessor, whatever, something like that. I didn't hate it.
Zazie Beetz introduced that, the orchestra leader who like was a brief little meme.
Right. I loved her.
Kelly Marie Tran introduced Keanu and Diane Keaton, which was a fun moment, even though it was more fun in theory than it was in execution or in practice.
It was fun. It was fun. Diane Keaton just can't get it together.
Whoa. Okay. And so the Oscar, it goes to, oh my God. Why don't you read this? I think it's exciting.
Right?
I think she must be kind of uncomfortable up there. And so is Keanu. Like, it's two uncomfortable people.
Yeah, it was great, honestly. Nancy Myers took a picture of her own TV and Instagrammed it and was like, they're still together.
Wait, she did?
Yeah. They're back together. She played along.
Oh, that's fun.
I liked the who them thing. It was jarring to see Beanie Feldstein started off by saying, hi, I'm Beanie Feldstein. But then it made sense as each went on for them to introduce themselves because nobody was introducing them, you know, and people didn't know who they were. So you had this moment of like, hi, I'm Anthony Ramos from Hamilton.
It's OK if you don't know who George McKay is.
No, even if you watched that movie and loved it, it's OK to not know who that guy is. One of the guys. He's the guy who... Oh, is that a spoiler?
He's... It's fine. Spoiling 1917 is not like something I'm going to worry about on this
war
podcast.
War is hell, okay? People die.
War is hell. Some people live, some people die. There was a really good Daily Mail thing where it was like... Because the Daily Mail, we quote the Daily Mail all the time, but at the end of the day, they're like a terribly conservative newspaper.
Yes.
Borderline propagandists. But they did the thing where... You know, we talk about the thing where it's like... If you have an idea for a story and you don't want to say that it's your opinion, you can just say people are saying it and then you can share some tweets.
Sure.
And they did an iconic version of this. And I'm trying to find the actual thing, but it was like, people are furious that 1917 was snubbed for Best Picture. And they found like the few Brits who were like, how dare they not give Sam Mendes the Oscar?
In the office of the Daily Mail, all these Brits are like, how do we write about people being mad about 1917 being snubbed?
Yeah, so that's what they did. And ultimately, everyone was thrilled by Parasite winning. It's fine.
Thrilled.
Jane Fonda had a great pause where she was like, and the Oscar goes to beep, 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 Parasite.
And the Oscar goes to Parasite.
She's a performer. She knew. The only thing that disappointed me a little bit, if I had to have a complaint about the Parasite thing, is that it won mostly as an ensemble, and mm-hmm. none of the actors were at all recognized. And it's so strange to me that a film, and maybe this is because we're not there yet, a film that can sweep like that has no nods to any of the actors in the movie at all, as if it was some sort of like, you know, oh, well, they're all lumped in with Parasite as a whole, with the director as a whole. Like, mm-hmm. I would just say that's somewhat unprecedented. And if it was an American film that had so many nominations, you know the actors yeah. would have gotten some of those nominations.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, most Americans barely have any idea, have never seen a Korean film. So it's
I know.
It's like, they don't even know. It's not like if an American ensemble film had one where it's like you are vaguely familiar with these people, but it's like most of America has not seen a single Korean film. So how are you going to introduce them to all these people? And yeah, it sucks.
No,
because,
totally.
And certain performances were better than other performances. So it's like there were performances that deserved to be winning from Parasite. But
I just wish that they had given
that sucks
a nomination to one of the many people in that cast. The big performers of Parasite, I've heard this, they're George Clooney, like the one of the biggest actors in Korea is Kang Ho Song, who is the dad. Yeah.
But then there was Jessica was Sodam Park.
Sodam Park, I feel like, she's gotten some good coverage, though. She's gotten some good press.
Yeah, people love her. People love the, I mean, she's the major meme.
She's the Jessica. What? It's Jessica only child.
Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago, Illinois.
Jessica, 외동딸, Illinois, Chicago.
The biggest news, Sharon Choi, the translator who's been with Bong and the rest of the Parasite team for months and months and months.
Yeah.
She's now an icon and legend who is the moment, right? She is,
right?
She's an icon and legend.
I'm just going to let you say that and pretend like it's not sanctioned by this podcast.
She's got a point. She's an icon. She's a legend. And she is the moment. Now, come on now.
And then Mickey Lee, who was the producer who spoke at the tail end of the Parasite Best Picture win.
I really, really, really want to thank our Korean film audience, our moviegoers, who's been really supporting all our movies and never hesitated to give us straightforward opinion on what they feel like their movies.
Right, and she's interesting because she's literally a billionaire who is the number one, she's the number one essentially patron of the arts in Korea. She works with DreamWorks and basically has released like 50% of the top 10 movies in Korea over the past like 10 years or something. Mm-hmm. She is from the Samsung.
Her grandfather founded this company called CJ, which was like a part of Samsung. So it was just like enormous. And now CJ is not a part of Samsung anymore, but it's still like an enormous company that just does everything. It's just like called, a company.
It's called CJ. What is the full name of CJ Group? So she owns this company called CJ Group.
It's a conglomerate holding company.
They own a bunch of bullshit. They own 10% of distribution, DreamWorks distribution rights in Asia, excluding Japan. Specific, but important. And through that, she has been able to not only invest in all of Bong's movies, basically like Snowpiercer and Memories of a Murder.
She's grown to do that. But she's just like, she's a patron of Korean entertainment, and that's from music to television to film. That is what her thing is. That's how she spends her money, and she lives in Orange County.
That is why they let her talk, because she is the person who is propping up the entertainment industry in Korea.
Thank you. I will drink until next morning. Thank you.
Okay, we've spent so long talking about the Oscars. We have not talked about John Peters breaking up with Pamela Anderson over text. An important, 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 important
I hate
update.
That this story is like now... I hate when a story bleeds onto Should've more known. Than two episodes of this podcast.
So, the three biggest revelations. Number one, they were never even married.
Of course they weren't. The of course they weren't.
Okay? They were never married, so all this really doesn't even count. This really doesn't count because they were never legally married. That's
whenever
part
somebody
one.
Gets married, we need to demand the papers. Not to be that person, but I need to see some legal documentation of this marriage. Like,
papers, please, but in a good way.
I mean, in a good
papers,
way.
Papers, please, but not like that.
Just because I'm sick of celebrities not getting fake-ass married and then breaking up and being like, well, they really weren't even married. They just went to the same Taco Bell and held hands. It's like, that is not getting married.
The second thing is that their relationship was supposed to be just lunch, apparently. We found out that their marriage. She was in India getting this cleanse, extremely, like, it's like a days long.
So she got a psychedelic based cleanse. So she must have been all crazy feeling.
She got back from her cleanse, which is like you eat certain things and you do like a very specific kind of meditation and yoga for 30 days. And then it's like, you know, isolation and blah, blah, blah. It's like depriving yourselves of some things and then like doing a lot of other things. And so she returns to America and then John Peters is like, want to get lunch? And then she's like, sure, I'll get lunch. And then they're like engaged by the end of lunch. And then the final thing to know about this is that he broke up with her over a text message, and the text, quote, described their beautiful, amazing love fest, but read, quote, this is according to Page Six, obviously, this whole marriage thing, ... has scared me. It made me realize that at 74, I need a simple, quiet life and not an international love affair. Therefore, I think the best thing we can do is that I'm going to go away for a couple of days, and maybe you need to go back up to Canada. We did it. The world knows we did it, and I think now we need to go our own separate ways. I hope you can forgive me.
What?
It's gibberish. It's exactly the kind of text John Peters would send. Imagine like seeing those bubbles for as long as it took John Peters to type that out and being like, what's he gonna type? And it's been 15 minutes.
It's so weird to me because
tell me why.
It's not like they just it's not like they were just reports of them at some chapel and they got married. They were both released significant statements to the press. She had a poem. He wrote a kind of semi-insulting note about her. It just felt like there was pomp and circumstance to this marriage. It wasn't just Britney Spears at Vegas for 24 hours, you know, that felt like this type of marriage. This felt like a thing.
Mm-hmm. Felt real.
It really did. And that's why I'm so confused that like, oh, it was just supposed to be lunch, or oh, they broke up over text message. It's like, not by the way that you talked about it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. As if I'm also kind of like, I don't care.
Okay, we're never going to talk about them again.
Thank you. We need to move on again. I hate this, what you did. I hate it.
Do you not care about The Tale of Two Sierras?
Bobby wrote A Tale of Two Sierras and then put live. Storm Sierra, Britain faces storm of the century as winds of up to 100 miles hit. And then Sierra bundles up her bump in silky mustard coat as she clings to her dashing husband, Russell Wilson, for date night in LA.
And it's like, here comes the storm of the century. She's bundled up her bump in a silky mustard yellow coat. It's time for, we need a music cue. It's time for the most Markless, whatever, the most Markless headline of the week.
Dun, 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 dun. Record scratch, dun, 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 dun. You know, like some kind of, like it's British, it's like fancy British music and then like record scratch and then like, what is the Deal or No Deal theme song?
I don't know. And then it's like record scratch, Meghan Trainor being like,
oh yeah.
If I was you, yeah. I'd want to be me too.
Oh my God, that's it. I gotta make that.
The worst.
Meghan Trainor,
the worst noises.
Us.
Yeah. Just the worst noises. Yeah. It's like noises that are worse than your alarm noise.
Right. Ugh. And my alarm noise is WNYC talking about coronavirus recently. And so I gotta change it up.
What is the national animal of England? Am I supposed to know that?
Nominee 1, Daily Mail. Meghan Markle will not appear in Jessica Mulroney's Netflix show about second weddings, insist producers, and Palace after post-Mexit job rumors. Okay?
Post-Mexit job rumors.
Gone Hollywood. Meghan and Harry have double date with Jamie Lo and A-Rod.
Good one, right?
That's radar, right? Yeah. Another Daily Mail. Queen asks Prince Harry and Meghan Markle to pause their new lifestyle to attend annual Commonwealth service at Westminster Abbey in final round of royal engagements. Okay. This is Metro, probably? Okay.
Yep.
Heir to the throne, balding Prince Harry visits a hair loss clinic for thickening treatments in London's Mayfair. And to those of you who say that's not Markle-less, that's a Harry thing, what's his is hers and what's hers is his. So this counts as Markle-less.
They're married, okay? He's also Markle-less by extension.
I read all of them. You picked the winner.
I think the winner, unfortunately, has to be Meghan Markle will not appear on Jessica Mulroney's Netflix show about second weddings and says producers and palace after post-Mexit job rumors, because that is part of a longer thread of headlines that were like, Meghan Markle to appear on Netflix show. And I was like, no, she's not. And then all of a sudden it was like, Meghan Markle to not appear on Netflix show. And I was like, bingo. She's not going to go on a Netflix show because her friend hosts it in Canada about second weddings. Come on.
I know that it's easy to make the joke or observation where it's like, imagine reading this headline like 5 years ago and like knowing what it meant. But truly, imagine reading this 5 years ago, because we would vaguely know who Meghan Markle is, maybe. Megxit would make no sense. There's no Brexit yet. Right. Netflix shows were sort of in their late infancy. They were toddlers.
You're missing every piece of context.
You're like, what? Okay. Congratulations to that headline. Good job.
What is the national animal of England?
Am I supposed to know that?
Wait. God, can I read the great tweet from a few days ago? I'm sorry. I just
yeah,
need
I'll
to
read it.
Where it's like, me, gay, 28. Oh my God, have you heard the new Pussycat Doll song? I'm literally going to bop to it all night at the club. My straight friend, 29.
Oh yeah.
I literally just had a baby. Do you want to meet it or something like that? What was it? I'm completely ruining the meme. Cut that from
no,
the
no,
episode.
No. You got that right. That was correct. Also,
that was pretty close,
also,
right?
Also, have you heard the new Pussycat Doll song? It's nuts.
I was going to say, if you say good, I'm going to reach through the phone.
No, it's nuts. Every time I leave, you pull me closer. I hang up the phone, you call me back. Why don't you mess me around like you're supposed to? You're turning me cruel cause I'm just wanting you to react.
Okay, first of all, that's extremely Eurovision. Second of all, why is the Pussycat Dolls not just Nicole Scherzinger? Like, the other ones aren't doing anything.
Right. That actually has been the problem from the start, because the Pussycat Dolls were a dance group that decided to release a song. And then Nicole Scherzinger, she was stuck with these women because she became more famous for Pussycat Dolls than herself. Right?
This is like a group project where it's like, the other people in my group project aren't doing any of the work, and you all get the 95.
You know when that happens, where you do the group project and you do everything, and everyone's doing
and you all get the 95, and everyone's like, and you get the presentation, and they don't do anything.
No offense, but 95 is generous. You all get like, you know, 86. You get like a B plus.
I would have gotten a 95.
No, not you, Nicole Scherzinger. I know you would have gotten a 95, fucking overachiever.
I thought you were saying, I got a 95. Nicole Scherzinger. Nicole Scherzinger. Definitely got. She got a B for this. I've only heard half of it, and I'm like, give her a B. I'd like turn it off. I'm stop grading the paper halfway through. I just like close it and write 85 on the front.
Nicole's like, guys, we have to finish this. Like, Mr. Finger, like he will not accept a late. We have to finish this.
This is an incredible comment from So on YouTube. Holy shit! I was just thinking about how iconic it would be if the Pussycat Dolls came back. When you're walking down the street, what are you thinking about how iconic it would be if the Pussycat Dolls came back? The great thing about the Pussycat Dolls, and I mean this genuinely, is that you can stand them without knowing a single word of their music. Like, I am thinking about how iconic it would be if they came back, and I don't really ever want
but
to listen to them
again. But you do
know
their music. Pussycat Dolls made some music that you can remember because it's so bad.
I know enough of their music, but it's like, I can want them to have an iconic comeback without ever wanting to listen to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's okay. Now I've got a confession. Ha, 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 ha. When I was young, I wanted attention. Ha, 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 ha. But I promised myself that I'd do anything. Ha, 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 ha. Anything at all for them to notice me. Ha, 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 ha. Okay, it's time to talk about Lucy Hale, but in a very sponsored way. This is a sponsored segment. I'm going to say this loudly. It's a sponsored segment. I'm proud of this sponsored segment. Why? Because we're talking about another Lucy Hale show.
Getting the big account, which is now Lucy Hale.
Well, the big account used to just be CW, but now we've realized the big account is just specifically Lucy
Whenever
Hale.
Lucy Hale is like, guys, I'm back, I'm like, great. You know what? We have so much to talk about with you because we've been through so much together, us and Lucy Hale. Through her journey.
We've talked about Life Sentence. We've talked about her Kylina Spawn.
We talked about Pretty Little Liars at one point, I'm sure. We didn't do Spawn for Pretty Little Liars, but we talked about Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, well, that was a different channel.
But Lucy Hale.
The big account is CW.
She's getting the work.
Well, I think this is the bit. Lucy Hale's 1,000th big break. It's coming right now. And it's because it's in the Riverdale universe.
The Riverdale universe, a show that we did talk about that I still do watch. It's off its rockers.
You're still watching it?
Yeah, it's good. It's spinning off its character, specifically Josie McCoy of Josie and the Pussycats. She is moving.
But it's like a time jump.
Yes. Well, she's moving to New York, big city, which we all also have experience with because we live here currently. Mm-hmm. And she is meeting up with none other than Lucy Hale as Katie Keene.
She becomes roommates with Lucy Hale as Katie Keene and their roommate who plays, what's his name, Ginger? A drag queen named Ginger.
It's pretty exciting. It's pretty New York. It's a New York show. I would say the fifth character is the city. You know, they say that. The fifth character is New York.
It's the fifth character at this table or whatever. It's like it's like Sex and the City. It's like Fame. It's all three of these people are trying to achieve their goals in like arts, the arts, so are, creative
well, so
fields.
Are we. You know, we can relate.
I can relate to Katie Keene. I can relate to Jorge. I can relate to Josie.
Katie works in a department store.
I love the thing when they have to make up a fake department store name for a thing. So it's like, it's not called Macy's, it's called Lacey's.
But it's such a... That's,
and she is a personal shopper.
It's such a very like old New York trope, the like working in a department store and like loving it. You know, we barely have any department stores left, let alone like ones that you would love working in. But they're...
You know how the economy of Schitt's Creek makes no sense?
Yeah.
And it's like this town would never exist and nothing about the show really makes sense and holds up to speculation. Katie Keene exists in a New York that is not real. Like that just like does not exist. Like people can work at department stores forever and like make a like amazing life for themselves.
Right. But that's good. I think that that's like the point. You know, it's a fantasy New York.
It's a fun economy that they're showing.
It's a fun economy.
It's an idealized version of the New York economy, a New York that has not been consumed by the ultra rich. It's like the version of New York that you wish it could show up. Like they even play the Taylor Swift song at the beginning of it. Welcome to New York.
It's been the Taylor Swift song is the Katie Keene of songs. Like it's the idealized it's like somebody who has been to New York a few times and is like, wow, taxi cab, you know, like that's
so,
you know,
yeah,
right.
Yes. Lucy Hale. Oh, she's from the Lower East Side. I love the scene when she's like yelling at the one girl and it's like, I deserve this. I'm from the Upper East Side. And she's like, bitch, you're from Westchester. And she's like, well, you're from the Lower East Side, you piece of trash.
And you're like, whoa, that's
it's like, okay. Well, okay, this is really intense. Katie Keene, is Lucy Hale a who or a them? Have we even decided? She's still a who, but like, is she ever going to be a them?
Maybe Katie Keene will push her to the top.
But don't we respect, don't we really like her to be a who? Like, what if
I know,
what if
because
the
then
other
we couldn't
the
watch her Kylina ads in full. I would be mad.
What if Ashley Murray, who plays Josie McCoy, becomes the them of the show? Or what if the person who plays Jorge?
I don't know. What if?
What if the person who plays Jorge, Johnny Beauchamp? That's a name that deserves
I'm
this.
Telling you.
Yes. Oh, are you watching Katie Keene? I love Johnny Beauchamp
so like,
as Jorge slash
we don't need to...
Also, that scene is absolutely an homage to
no,
Showgirls.
No, of course it is.
That had
of
to have been an homage
is.
To Showgirls.
Of course it is. But the show is respects what it takes from. So it's got drag queen stuff, but then it also has Shangela, the iconic drag queen who was in A Star Is Born and on RuPaul's Drag Race, obviously.
And it's got Fame and Rent stuff, and they have the original
Vinny.
Yeah,
they
in
have
the show,
Daphne Rubin Vega, they have Bernadette Peters. Like they are zooming in on this like New York thing, and they're paying tribute, but they're also getting the real people who were there to come and like do a role, you know? The other funny thing is Lucien Laviscount, who was on Scream Queens, who plays somebody on this show. Who does he play on this show? I don't even know.
Oh no, you know who he is? He's
Who is he?
He's the hunky billionaire son.
Oh, so funny fact about
him.
Who
tries to get Josie a record deal, and then his sister's like, you're not good enough, bitch, and she doesn't give her the record
deal. This guy competed on the rebooted series of Celebrity Big Brother where he was involved in a love triangle with Amy Childs and Carrie Katona. That is crazy.
That's really good.
There are great who's in this series is what I'm saying. This guy was on Celebrity Big Brother.
You don't have to convince me that there are great who's in this series. A thing I like about this show is that if Riverdale is like super dark and strange and sort of insane, This is that, but on the brighter end of the spectrum.
Oh, it's so bright.
It also seems like this show, I can't speak to the other episodes because I've only seen the first one, but it seems like this show could get fully, completely fucking deranged, but in a fun way.
I mean, it's
not in like a death way.
It's just like you're waiting for something to turn, but it never turns. It's just like a very positive, fun, inspiring show about like young people being creative in New York City.
She dates a guy named Keo who wants to be a boxer. And he's like, let's move to Philadelphia. And she's like, but I love it in New York. And then he's like, well, then I want to get married. And she's like, Keo. And we don't know if she's going to get married to him.
Wait, his name's Keo and he's a boxer? Like Keo? Like the...
It took me forever to realize that that was a joke.
Like a boxing term. The boxing term Keo. Yeah. And you know what the other thing is about this show? Everyone's hot.
What?
Everyone's hot.
Well, that's the CW's bread and butter.
Lucy Hale is so quirky as Katie Keene. Katie Keene is like truly the funnest Riverdale adjacent character that's ever existed. Like, she's fun.
You know what I'm thinking about when it comes to Lucy Hale? You know what I'm thinking about? It's that she needs a cast of characters around her.
To support her.
She can be the lead, but she needs a series of great second lead vocalists.
Which
you know
I think
what
she
I mean?
Has in this show.
She has it here.
Yeah, I think she's going to make it after all. Katie Keene and Lucy Hale.
She's going to make it after all. And you can watch her Thursdays at 8, 7 Central or stream free the next day on the CW app. Let's talk about The Bachelor.
The Bachelor, I heard. I cannot confirm because I didn't watch it all. But I heard that The Bachelor, probably the worst thing on television, was 5 hours last week of content.
In the same night or spread across
five? No, spread across. But spread across 1 week, 5 hours of
five
Bachelor content.
Hours?
Yeah.
5 hours a week?
Yeah.
That's too much of anything. That's too much of anything.
Exactly.
Even a show I love, like my favorite shows in the world, I don't want to watch that much of it.
I'm not watching The Bachelor, but I do. We get whiffs of what's happening on that show if it's interesting. And let me tell you, what happened last week was
seasonal
pretty
who's.
Interesting, okay? Because...
Interesting's a word for what happened last week.
Interesting also could mean anything, so take that with a grain of salt. It's interesting because how I saw it was the blog post. Cosmopolitan.com posts this blog post. It's written by the editor-in-chief, whose name is Jessica Pels. She writes this letter that's like... And I'm reading this out of context. I don't watch The Bachelor. So I'm reading this being like, what the fuck happened on The Bachelor? The blog was called Why We're
this
Not.
Letter is,
right.
This letter is just like,
it's crazy.
Having to write a serious letter for your like insane publication that should not in any way be taken seriously by anyone. For people who like, and most of your readers probably have no idea what's going on.
And
it's
defending
just like,
a deal you clearly didn't make and have nothing to do with. Like,
yes.
So the blog post is called Why We're Not Publishing the Cosmo Bachelor Cover. And basically that they wrote it because on The Bachelor this week, the girls did a Cosmo cover challenge in which I think they just wore bathing suits and posed for photos.
But there's one person who really stood out from the rest of the group. We felt her personality come through. We felt how here she is for Peter. And so the person who will be on the cover of Cosmo with Peter is Victoria F.
Victoria F!
It was also really funny because didn't they cover up, didn't they draw on their bathing suits for some of the TV viewers?
Yeah. It looked like the old, like when showgirls would be on VH1 and they like painted on clothes.
Right.
That's the technology they use.
So they do this contest on The Bachelor and this woman wins. Her name is Victoria F. And she wins the Cosmo Digital cover contest, which is hilarious because she doesn't even get to be on cover of Cosmo. She's on the cover of like a photo on the internet that says Cosmo on it. Right. So congratulations to.
No offense. Digital covers are like, they should not be called covers.
Don't say that.
Having once written a digital cover, I got to say, it should not have been called a cover.
Don't say that.
It should have been called a digital feature. But there is no cover if you can't have a cover of a digital thing.
Don't alienate our fellow journalists, okay?
I'm literally talking about semantics here. That's it.
Okay, so Victoria F. wins this contest.
Victoria F. is from Virginia Beach. I'm not sure I've ever seen a single woman on this show go through as much during her time on the show as Victoria F. She goes through everything. Everything that you could go through, she goes through on this show.
And then it comes to light because every time the batch, you know, they didn't know this because they do no research and they don't give a shit, but the show airs and there are people online watching the show and they do whatever they do. They do their Googling and they find out that this woman, Victoria F., had modeled for a clothing line or a clothing company that in which she wore a shirt that said White Lives Matter. Okay, that's nuts, but that's not even it. So it turns out that she's wearing a shirt that says White Lives Matter, but it's part of a campaign for overfishing marlin, and it's part of an organization called Marlin Lives Matter, which, quote, focuses on preventing white and blue marlin from being overfished. They sell shirts that say White Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter. Okay, do you get why they would do that? It's like, quote unquote, funny, right?
Yeah, you would only wear those shirts if you thought the Black Lives Matter movement was bullshit.
Right.
You know, like
exactly.
You would only wear those shirts if you were making fun of what they were.
Exactly.
If you were making fun of how they originated. Like, you would not wear a White Lives Matter shirt if you sympathize with the Black Lives Matter cause. And they
even
know
if it's
that.
About
we
fish.
Know that. We're not idiots.
Right. And there's also literally in these photos another dude wearing a Confederate flag, but instead of the stars, there's fish. So it's not like there is no evidence that this is not entirely about fish, okay? Right? Mm-hmm. This has little to nothing to do with actual fish. And if you Google Marlin Lives Matter, there's been write-ups about it, how they're purposefully using this terminology to provoke a reaction, right? They're trying to get people riled up about the fucking fish. The fucking fish.
Mm-hmm. So she did that, and then Cosmo was like, we can't put her on the cover.
The fake cover.
We can't put her on our digital cover.
Right.
And the cover, the photo is gross. Like, the wedding photo is gross, because it's like, it's not just her. It's not, I mean, they didn't show the actual final wedding photo cover, but they showed the clip of them taking the photo, and the photo is her and the bachelor, like, holding each other and making out. It's like disgusting.
The
under
other
a waterfall.
Funny thing about this, which somebody had to tell me directly because obviously I don't watch the show, was that this is the same girl who she had to admit to him that she had dated a country singer. And
what?
I guess the bachelor brought the country singer on the show or something. And they were like, hey, 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 hey. And she had dated him at some point before. His name is Chase Rice. Again, not a really famous country singer, but there's some mm-hmm. moment where she's like,
because like tonight for me, like everything was so amazing, like the whole entire day was amazing and like you're amazing, but the end part was like a little weird for me because
like the concert.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
So Chase and I used to date, and
like the singer Chase. The guy that was doing the concert.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
And he's like, hold on 1 second. And he's like, 619, who them? Hi, Who Weekly, long time. Who is Chase Rice? Crunch, crunch.
Sorry, I had to make a phone call.
Bachelor, what's his name? Who was in that, honestly, the best thing the Bachelor's ever done is that ghost parody they did.
That is not the best thing.
That is the funniest thing Bachelor's ever done. That commercial was funny. Let me tell you something. Every time it repeated, I was like, this is funny.
I didn't see you laughing at that. I was there.
I didn't have to laugh out loud. I was laughing inside, and I was like, that's a funny commercial. It's a funny commercial.
You were not laughing at that.
That's a good concept.
Oh, you weren't even breaking
privately.
A smile.
I was laughing in my head.
Okay.
I was laughing in my head.
All right.
That was a funny commercial.
All right.
Just how humiliating it must be for this woman, Jessica Pels, to be like taking a stand and all the Cosmo readers are like, what? What happened? Oh, and then closing the tab.
Anyways, it's just a really wild
And the thing is,
moment.
She could still win. Bachelor, whatever, could be like, horny for you. You're my pick. I love you. And then they could get married. He's like, I picked her because she loves, as I do, blue and white lives, as well as Marlin.
She loves blue and white Marlin.
Do you want to be here?
Yes. I mean, like, I would not be here if I didn't want
to
be.
I'm not trying to insult you. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is getting so serious.
Right, exactly.
For me. And I want to be able to feel that you feel just as confident about us.
Okay. I don't know what to say.
But listen, if it's not the case, then you need to be honest with yourself again and honest with me.
Okay, like, I get up, Peter, and, like, I want to, like, get up right now because I, like, literally, like, feel sick. Like, I'm, like, gonna throw up.
Moving on, this is from the Daily Mail. Australia Zoo denies report that Bindi Irwin's fiancé, Chandler Powell, took a tumble near an angry crocodile in the Crocoseum and was left shaken. Okay. I had to reverse engineer this because this is the first thing I saw. And I was like, what? And then it says, were you in the audience? Email tips@dailymail.com. So
my kingdom for a screenshot of what that inbox looks like.
So the Daily Mail is soliciting tips from people who might have been there when Bindi Irwin's fiance Chandler might have fallen near an angry crocodile.
Or near a crocodile who, maybe the crocodile was in a good mood.
Yeah, maybe he was fine and this random guy just fell into his bullshit and was like, how dare you, you know?
And guess what? This all goes back to fucking Woman's Day, the shittiest publication in Australia. Australia's like, like Woman's Day is filled with lies.
It's really the trashiest thing. And it's crazy it's called Woman's Day. Like, how dare you? Woman's Day.
They're trying to legitimize themselves. They're like, no, it's just a publication for women, but it's all fake. It's all fake.
So the Australian Zoo literally put out a statement that said there's no truth to this article. And then you go to Women's Day, which is the original report. It says, in a terrifying incident at the Irwin family's Crocoseum in Australia on Australia Day, Bindi's fiance Chandler Powell took a tumble into the water just meters from an angry croc. It was one of those heart-stopping moments, says an onlooker. Everyone knows croc can be on you in a split second, so Chandler was very lucky he scrambled out when he did. He looked very shaken up. So, like, that's probably a total lie, no?
I mean, it must be.
But it was enough for Daily Mail and the Australia Zoo to clap back, as they say, to snap back like the jaws of an alligator or a crocodile. It's a crocodile.
A crocodile.
Sorry. If you forgot, Chandler Powell is Bindi Irwin's fiance who moved from like New Jersey or whatever he's from to go to Australia to like learn the family business, which is a dangerous business.
Yeah. Well, right? that's what they're preying on here. They're like, wow, wouldn't it be tragic if Bindi Irwin's fiance died in an animal attack too?
Right.
Like, that's what they're doing here.
It's so fucked
up. Yeah, it's really messed up. They're like, oh, wow. Imagine if the two most important men in her life died from like weird animal attacks.
I would.
Like, that's what they're
preying
on.
He does need to be careful, but it is fucked up that they're kind of preying on that tragic angle in a weird way.
Of course he needs to be careful, but this may not have even happened.
I know. Maybe he's very good with the crocs and they love him a lot.
Maybe someone else fell near the Crocoseum, who looks like him. But in that case, who knows what Chandler Powell looks like?
Good point. Remember their engagement photos were just a snake with a ring? That's what he looks like.
Presley Gerber got a face tat. And so when I got the notification about this, I believe it was in an Us Weekly newsletter. In my mind, I was like, okay, so Presley Gerber got a tattoo kind of near where Rita got that tattoo, you know, like she got a little tattoo under his neck. I was just like, oh, he got a little tattoo.
No, it's
on
big.
The face. It's on the face. I clicked the photo and I was like, oh my God.
It's under the eye. It says misunderstood.
What did your mom think? My mom, she likes it. She thinks it's,
She's supportive.
I don't know. Like, what does she think? Like, what is, like, what do you mean? It's like, it's my shit. It's my face.
Here's my argument. If you put the word misunderstood on your face, if you tattoo the word misunderstood on your face, you will never be understood. Never in your life will you ever be understood. You just sealed the deal that you will never be understood.
Really?
That's what I think. Yeah.
Because you're, like, setting yourself up to be misunderstood.
You're setting yourself for being misunderstood forever.
Okay.
You're so, when you are that aggressively misunderstood, you don't want to be understood. You don't want to be understood.
Weirdly, he's not the only person who got a face tat in the news this week.
Meanwhile, where are the photos of Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber like freaking out over this face tattoo?
I know.
They were like freaking out over Pete Davidson.
They're more mad about Pete Davidson. They're busy. They're still celebrating the Pete Davidson removal.
Well, they care more about Kaya, no offense. That's my that's my thought.
Moving on. Amber Rose got her kids' names tattooed on her forehead, ... as a fan reveals the model paid for her purchases after her card was declined. Well, the second part's nice. The first part is Amber Rose got her kids' names tattooed on her head. And I would say they're in a place where your hair could cover it, but she doesn't have hair, so they're out there.
It's kind of, I don't hate it because it is above, it's like the hairline.
Right.
You can always, if you don't want to show it, she can cover it up.
Well, it's maybe fine. She's like going to grow out her hair or like,
yeah.
What, maybe she's going to have a long hair moment via wigs or whatever.
Like you can't really do anything to, like if, what's his name, Gerber, decides that he regrets this tattoo and wants to cover it up later, it will be difficult for him to do that. Like, I guess makeup, whatever. But like Amber Heard can, anytime she's like, I'm sick of this aesthetic, she could just put on a wig or something and it's fine.
Right.
So right. I wouldn't even call this a face tattoo. It's a head tattoo. You know?
It's a head tattoo. It's a forehead tattoo.
It's a forehead tattoo.
Just technically on your face.
So anyway, this woman, not your kitty cosplay, posted a photo with Amber Heard at some store. Looks like a Spencer's, honestly, or maybe a Hot Topic. And it says, I was just shopping at Dolls Kill. Okay, so that's what it is. Dolls Kill. My card got declined because I forgot to tell my bank I was leaving the state. I walked away to call them and the cashier walked up with me to my bag and said, this is for you from Amber Rose. LA is wild, y'all. Amber paid for
that's so nice.
That's honestly the nicest thing.
I think Amber Rose is like net good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really know anything about her until she started just like doing stuff that like seemed good to me. Net good.
Okay. Always a sucker for a celebrity paying for a thing because it, to me, it's like, that's like the bare minimum of what you should be doing, you know? And it's like.
And last night, I think I made a good point. I mean, I think this is obvious, but it's really funny how the richer you get, the less you have to pay for stuff. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Like, rich people get a lot of free stuff.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't get free stuff because they're rich, you know? That should not be part of it. But it sucks
all of
that
those,
rich people get
all
free
All of those
stuff.
Luxe things that they get to take advantage of are typically extremely free. Like, whenever right. they fly in a private jet, often very free. Whenever they, like, get this new, like, their great skincare products, often it's free. It's given to them so that they can Instagram right. it. Like, all of this stuff. There comes up, you hit a threshold, and then like everything is free. So good for
it's just
Amber,
a weird. Amber. It's just a weird thing that happens to famous people and rich people, even just rich people who aren't famous.
Yeah.
When you get it to be a certain point rich, people give you free stuff.
Well, when you go to a restaurant, and then it's like, oh right. no, the manager took care of this, and it's like, no, but they can
no,
afford
he's rich.
To pay you.
Yeah, right, right. More rich people should pay for poor people's stuff or anyone's stuff. Pay for my shit.
That's got to be like, I don't know. I feel like that would be one of the great joys of being rich. Like,
right.
And not even in an entirely selfless way. Like, in a selfish way, wouldn't you want to be doing that? Isn't that a really good feeling to like, isn't that probably arguably yeah. one of the best feelings? Because A, you get recognized and then you fulfill that sort of like self-involved, self-indulgent need to be recognized and loved. But then B, you get the satisfaction of like paying for someone who doesn't have enough money as you. Like,
yeah.
If you were rich, why wouldn't you be giving money away all the time? Yeah. Like in
selfishly,
person?
Generosity, it does give you a little bit of that serotonin.
Yeah,
boost.
That's what I'm saying.
It can be a selfish behavior. A lot of people do good things because it makes them feel better about themselves in a way that is associated with negative stuff, but actually can be positive. You still get that kind of emotional boost.
I just love, I love that. There's something about the story, like really, it touched
it's
me.
It's nice. Amber Rose.
Good for Amber Rose. Amber Rose has been through it, and now she's like, you know what? I'm in a good place.
I know, it's true.
I'm looking at her forehead tattoo being like, fine.
Yeah, truly.
I know you saw this Luke Evans Goes Instagram Official with Boyfriend Rafael Alara, and you were like, get it out of here. I think that's homophobic, Lindsay. Just kidding. It's not homophobic.
My eyes glazed over, and I was like, oh, well, let Bobby handle this story. It's
not
homophobic, but get it off here.
It's not a story. I just...
It's not a story. Yeah. What do you have to say about this?
There's just nothing.
You have no story.
There's no story. It's just like, just Jared is like, I guess it's just real two hunky white dudes with the exact same body. And it's like, And Luke captions it, he loves my Welsh humor. No, honestly, he does. And then it's like hashtag happiness. And it's just these two dudes with giant biceps being like, they're so cute. But it's like, we know nothing about this guy. It's just so thirsty anytime Luke Evans is with a guy. There's no details about this person.
So what's the story? Who is he?
He's the art director of Faena, a luxury hotel group with locations in Miami Beach and Buenos Aires. He was covered by Mr. Porter last year in a story called Why This Design Insider Has the Best Job in Miami. Faena art director Mr. Rafa Olara takes us on a tour of his favorite spots in the city, sporting the new L'Oreotto Absolute from Grand... No, there's nothing to say about these people. This Luke is Evans just is just...
Like not right.
I love Miami. Luke Evans as a figure because society still does not really know what to do with hunky gay celeb. Like, it's like, how do we cover these
hot,
people?
Though. He's hot.
That's it. It's like
he's hot.
And there's a sort of like there's almost like a virtue signaling involved here. It's like, I guess we have to cover this, too, because it's gay, and like we cover boring straight relationships, so why shouldn't we cover boring gay relationships?
You're saying that you and I are virtue signaling?
I'm not saying we're virtue signaling. I'm saying the coverage of gay relationships is
just
funny.
Jared is virtue signaling, right?
It's funny because it's like we can make fun of Leonardo DiCaprio having another boring relationship because boring straight relationships have been happening since, you know, for time immemorial. But like boring gay relationships, we still sort of have to quietly be like, we ship them, even though we're like, who is this person? Like, what?
Right.
Like, it's still so new that we're trying to be polite, and that the manifestation of that politeness is really funny because it's like, look at Luke Evans and his hunky boyfriend. And it's like, we don't have to do this. It's
we
very like
them.
Anton Chigurh, like, you don't have to do this. Like, it's like, you don't have to do this.
Okay. In other, I paired this with just like other boring relationship shit that like doesn't warrant getting into, which was three things or four things. G-Eazy and Megan Thee Stallion like there were photos and videos of them that they posted kind of getting close, getting a little hot and heavy, and they're not and then she was like, we're not dating.
No.
G-Eazy is G-Eazy fucking sucks. Everywhere.
Yeah.
He is everywhere in terms of kind of just trying to get into people's pants and having relationships with them, right?
Yeah. We never explain, like, G-Eazy sucks. Like, the thing that we haven't talked, yeah, we always make fun of Halsey, but also Halsey was like, G-Eazy was abusive. She called him abusive and didn't really go into it.
Well, also, Lana kind of called him out for being a shitty boyfriend. Lana's kind of like...
People say that he sucks, and I feel like it reads to me that, like, people are, I don't know, it's like they're nervous about giving the full story. I don't know. Like, they're intimidated by him for some reason. Like, he really does seem like he sucks. And the vagueness with which these women have talked about him is, like, telling to me. Maybe I'm being, like, I'm reading too far into it. But it really does seem like this guy is a piece of shit. So good for Megan. Get away from him.
He does seem bad. Yeah, I think everybody, when they saw that, they were like, no. And she maybe readjusted her... She adjusted the algorithm and was like, no, we're not, maybe we like smooched that night, but we definitely, I'm not dating this like fuck boy, and truly in the sense of the meaning of fuck boy person, essentially.
Okay, it's time to do Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
I did not see this until you pasted it in. Oh my God, good for her. Good for her.
Read the tweet.
Oh my God. It's a throwback Thursday, but it's also, it's a TBT or a flashback, but it's also self-promo. Performing my song, so it's three photos of her at last year's Oscars, or 5 years ago Oscars, whenever she did Grateful, which is a Diane Warren song.
It was like 2015 Oscars.
And then a photo of her from much later holding a bottle of Prospero tequila. And it says, performing my song Grateful at the Oscars, the year it was nominated, will remain a highlight of my career. Good luck and congratulations to all the nominees tonight. I hope you enjoy my hashtag Prospero Tequila that's inside the nominee gift bags.
I'm sorry, but Diane Warren's Grateful sung by Rita Ora makes the Chrissy Metz Diane Warren song look like even more trash than it already is. Like, seriously, like, Grateful is actually a pretty good song.
It's pretty
compared
good.
Compared to that one. We didn't even know what we had until, you know, we had to listen to Chrissy Metz sing whatever, Rise Up, whatever it was. Like,
Stand Up. There are two songs about standing. There are two songs about standing. That's
Stand
too
Up,
many.
Sit Down. No, this was from the 2014 or 15 Oscars. Cause that's
we didn't
when
talk about it.
The gift, lights came out.
The gift bag had $225,000 worth of stuff in it. I mean, like, a lot of it is like vouchers for things.
Right. No, it's not actually the value of the stuff inside. It's literally maybe $3,000 of shit, like mostly watches and sunglasses they want you to wear
but
to promote
the,
it. But
it's the cruise.
Yeah. It's the vouchers,
it's the vouchers
that celebrities will never use. They maybe will give to their family members or friends.
I'm dying. I would love to be nominated for an Oscar just so I could get the bag. I just want the bag.
Do you know who gets them? Just the main people, not even everyone. Just the nominees. Just like Brad Pitt, who doesn't give a shit or want it. You
no,
know,
but
and
the nominees, though. The nominees. Is it all nominees? It's all Oscar nominees.
No, I think they only give out like 10 bags.
But it's for the Oscar nominees.
But I don't think that they give out that many bags. I was watching some video about the guy. And the stupid thing is that it's, again, celebrities getting free stuff. But all they want is to have you wear it or use it or promote it or be photographed in it.
They only give it to best actor, best actress, supporting actor, supporting actress, and best director. Well, I got to get a nomination for best, I don't know, supporting actor. I got to go to acting
likely,
school.
What's the most likely one for you to get at this point
I got
to
go to
life?
Acting school.
It's not directing.
I got to get a supporting actor nomination in something.
So it's going to be supporting actor is what you're going to get a nomination for.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's what I'll get a nomination for. And then I can get, what did they get this year? Wait, look at this. They got
like sunglasses.
They got a $78,000 12-day yacht cruise, $20,000 of facial rejuvenation treatments, $20,000 in matchmaking services, which is so funny. And then there's another further, like almost 80 items. This is quoting from what, Hollywood Reporter? Including clothing, gadgets, a 24-karat gold-plated vape pen, okay? And then there's a book that empowers young girls and a cleanser that supports showers for the homeless. Come on.
Like, it's these things.
Give the money to the homeless.
They're trying to get in the hands of the famous person to use them. And then the brand can be like they used it. It's the most. I bet the brands not only give the free shit, but they pay for the placement in the bag.
Of course they do.
Rita Ora's Prospero Tequila paid to be in that bag. It's not because they were like, we love Rita Ora and we love this tequila. We're putting it in the bag. You know, it's a whole system of promotion here that we're talking about.
Yeah. Back to Rita. I love, so we talked about the home line on Tuesday's episode. But, and we were like, oh, we have to stop because we have to save it for Rita. Thank God. But the headline is, Howie Duvet. Now fans can go to bed with Rita Ora. In case you
imagine how much you have to know to get that headline.
This story is wild. And it says, Rita Ora is taking on Kylie Minogue between the sheets. So they turn it into a fake rivalry between Rita Ora's home line and Kylie Minogue's home line. For no reason. And it says, I miss this quote. And 29-year-old Rita insists she can be even softer than her fabrics, despite a hard-nosed business ambition. She said, quote, if I let people see the softer side of me, I wouldn't have to be so focused nor so determined. I just never wanted to chance success. I am, or up to this point have been, an obsessive workaholic, and I wear that label proudly.
Wow, I didn't.
Oh, and then there's,
she also says, as I have a hectic schedule, I love being able to relax in beautiful bedding and collection. This collection encapsulates luxury, style, and comfort.
Interiors are a passion of mine, she says. What isn't? No offense, Rita, but what isn't?
Rita has a lot of passions. She turned up the heat in a sheer ripped red dress. Oh, this is from what?
This is from Inquisitor.
They describe every photo in the carousel.
So it says, she turns up the heat in a sheer red ripped dress. And it says, she turned up the heat in her latest Instagram snaps, where she was photographed wearing a fiery number. The I Will Never Let You Down songstress wowed in a long sleeve red dress that was ripped all over. The
you
sheer
can't
item
read
of clothing
all of these.
Displayed her underwear underneath, blah, blah, blah. So it says, in a series of pics within one post, she posed in two different locations. And then they describe all four photos. In the first shot, she was captured in front of a shelf full of books. The singer raised both hands up and looked over to her left.
Stop.
In the next slide, The How We Do party chart topper stretched her arms, crossed them over, and rested them on the wooden surface in front of her.
This is like me in college when it's like, this has to be 800 words. I'm like, here we go. In the third, Aura posed while sitting down on the sofa with more books behind her. In a fairly up-close image, she winked at the camera, opened her mouth, and raised her tongue.
In the fourth and final photo, she was pictured from head to toe. She curled her legs up on the sofa and flashed a smile with her mouth wide open. Aura had her hands on the laptop in front of her and looked really happy. It's so good. And then they describe the caption. For her caption, Aura told fans that she has more live dates for her South America tour below. She credited makeup artist Kathy Young, hairstylist Sammy Knight, and photographer Blair Brown. In the span of 1 hour, which means that they are on it, her post racked up 180,000 likes and over 1,300 comments, proving to be an instant hit with her 16 million followers. Flawless as always, love a lady in red.
Do not read these.
Oh Jesus, too pretty for my eyes, a third fan remarked, adding a flame emoji.
Okay, we need to.
Now that's a true definition of a lady in red, a fourth admirer commented.
I need to be turned off. Turn me off.
My head hurts. Thank you for listening to Who Weekly. Thank you for watching Katie Keene on the CW. Thank you for supporting us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We got some good ones last week. They're just so sweet. And call 619-WHO-THEM for questions, comments, and concerns. We might play them on a future episode of Who's There, which is our Friday call-in show. Until Friday, have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
You will drain it. Yeah.
Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by the CW. Watch new episodes of Katie Keene on Thursdays at 8, 7 Central or stream free the next day on the CW app.
I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago.
Oh my God, I got complimented.
Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented and I was like, well, they're spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I won't name, but
this if you love Texas.
This album, you're going to, this ain't Texas, you're going to want your Tecovas, you know? This ain't Texas, these Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience. It's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.